and health insurance is your financial safety net. Health insurance has never been so easy and affordable. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more,
give us a call at 800-801-2730. That's 800-801-2730.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that is MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save many families up to $500 a month. And that is huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The member satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works, too. It's been around for 30 years. Members have shared more than $5 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, really, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. So see what you can save. This is a very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. Call 877-26-BIBLE. That's 877-26-BIBLE. 877-26-BIBLE.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
From ABC News, this is a special report, Global IT Outage. I'm Michelle Franzen. A fix for that global tech outage has been issued, but the troubles are far from over. Businesses, emergency operations, and airlines hit hard by the Microsoft outage, triggered by a faulty update to computers. More than 2,000 flights canceled today in the U.S. One traveler stuck at Minneapolis-St. Paul International on the chaos.
I've flown quite regularly. This is worse than when I was in Atlanta last week, and that's always busy.
ABC's Alexis Christophorus has more.
This was not a cyber attack. The culprit here, a single software update pushed out by the cybersecurity company CrowdStrike in the wee hours of the morning. It went out to its some odd 30,000 clients around the world, a number of different sectors, media companies, banks, hospitals, airlines, the list goes on.
Authorities now warning of malicious actors exploiting the disruption by sending malware disguised as a software patch. This is ABC News. At least one person killed and 10 injured after an apparent drone strike in Tel Aviv, close to the U.S. embassy.
The Iranian-backed Houthis claiming the attack, calling it retaliation for the Gaza war. The Israeli army says a, quote, human error was responsible for the failure to intercept the drone, which it says was detected on its radar systems. Residents of Tel Aviv on edge as this attack came without any warning, without sirens. Jordana Miller, ABC News, Jerusalem.
The boss is now a member of the Billionaires Club. Forbes estimating Bruce Springsteen's worth to be over $1 billion. The 74-year-old 20-time Grammy winner has been performing for five decades, and people are still lining up to see his shows. Last year alone, his world tour sold over 1.5 million tickets. In 2021, he sold his music catalog to Sony for $500 million. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Eh, too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Tad Aylin. Several are injured in a school bus versus minivan crash in Racine County Thursday. County officials say the bus was headed to a summer camp roller skating event when the crash happened during the noon hour in the town of Dover. Nobody in the minivan was hurt, but of the 51 people on the bus, 10 children and one adult were hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries. Some of the uninjured children were taken from the scene by another bus, while others were picked up by their parents. The Racine County Sheriff's Office is investigating. A Milwaukee teen was arrested after allegedly stealing an SUV from the Trump campaign. A criminal complaint says early Saturday morning, 17-year-old Charles Lucas entered the valet room at the Pfister Hotel and forced open the valet key box. Lucas then took the keys of a Chevy Tahoe assigned to the Trump campaign advance team and drove off with the SUV. The Tahoe was later found at a Milwaukee Walmart. Authorities found Lucas inside the store and arrested him. He's charged with operating a motor vehicle without the owner's consent and criminal damage to property. A new study from UW-Madison shows the foam that forms on waterways near dams or on windy days accumulates PFAS from its surroundings.
Civil engineering professor Christy Remicall says it could be 7,000 times more concentrated than the surrounding water.
The recommendation is if you do come in contact with foam, you should wash your hands, especially before eating or drinking, and it's a good idea to keep your pets out of the foam as well as your kids. We sampled lakes and rivers that had elevated PFAS concentrations, as well as lakes and rivers that had lower PFAS concentrations. In every case, we found that the amount of PFAS in the foam was much higher than what we measured in the water below.
Remicall hopes the research could find a way to more easily gather and remove PFAS from watersheds. Raymond Newport, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Sunny and summery today as high temperatures comfortably flirt with 80 degrees. Alongside calm winds, a few clouds build in this afternoon, but we stay dry. Shower and thunderstorm chances pop up tomorrow afternoon and again Sunday. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 79.
Thanks for being with us here for another episode of AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's program, we're going to get some tips on beef cattle nutrition and also management and more during the summer months when we see heat and things like that. Madison Kovarna with South Dakota State University is going to join us for that conversation coming up here in segment two of today's show. In segment three, what would the impact of a ban on Chinese-made DJI drones do in the U.S.? What is this all looking like? We're going to talk with the CEO of Helio, a U.S. drone manufacturer, Arthur Erickson, coming up here in segment three. Then we'll take a look at Ag News headlines at the end of the program. Helping us kick things off, though, today as we take a look at what's happening in the markets. Got some green on the screen in Friday's trade. That's a big difference from what we saw to start the week this past Monday. Joining us now, Dwayne Bussey with Bolt Marketing. And Dwayne, man, oh man, you and I talked on Monday after the heavy selling that we saw this past week. And then, you know, compared that to now the end of the week, a little bit of a bounce, but I'd say maybe a cautionary bounce in the grain trade. What do you think?
Yeah, pretty light volume as far as newsworthy items last night, and that's been fairly consistent here. I think when you look back on the week, the news items that are big to me are the fact that you're probably closing the book on the weather market scare for the corn. You know, with the extended forecast getting us to August, and looks like most of the corn is going to pollinate under good weather. I'm even finally seeing some tassels up here. You know, our corn is so far behind in the Dakotas and northern Minnesota, but we're finally shooting some tassels here too. Weather's going to be pretty much perfect. But with the lighter trade news, you're also getting lighter volume too, which is okay down at the bottom here. You know, maybe we're just running out of sellers is the point I'm trying to get at. And mm-hmm. maybe we can, but I got to really put out there that that doesn't mean we just go straight up from here, though, either. Maybe a sideways trading range is what we have for the next 2 months in the corn market until, you know, we get to more demand issues this winter. And I think demand will be strong, but it's just, yeah, this is hard for everyone to hear that it's going to be maybe a boring trade for a couple of months yet.
Well, and a boring trade, and I think, you know, let's talk about this a little bit. I feel like a lot of folks have to be a savvy marketer. I guess that's kind of the term I've adopted here late this week. Your thoughts about that? It's almost kind of like a do what you got to do mode in some ways. If you're, say, stuck with old crop that you have to do something with here, or if you haven't really got active with any new crop marketing, I know it's a tough conversation, but that's why being savvy, I think, is going to win out here, right?
Yeah, I'm with you. And maybe being savvy is a little different than traditional hedging like we used to do. You know, it's nice if you get, you know, a bunch of new crop corn sold in a rally in May, but this May, it was kind of a minimal rally. I mean, I know it seemed like a lot of people got 30 or 40% sold, and that's great. If you didn't sell anything and you still have old crop, you know, savvy, maybe what you got to do is play the range a little bit, you know, get rid of it, the cash grain on the best basis you can find, and then buy the board back on a dip and then exit on the higher end of the range. And maybe I do that more than once. I don't want to promote things like that. That's not really great hedging, but it's just, like you said, you might have to be savvy here. We're not, because if I'm right and the weather market's done, we're not going to rally up to $5 in D's corn. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Your thoughts, obviously the political landscape, there's been some chatter that, say former President Trump is reelected, that what could that mean for U.S. China relations, maybe another trade war? Some folks have been saying that that had some of the early week impact in the grain trade. Do you think that's still a concern, considering just the weak demand picture we have right now?
I think it should be a concern. You know, when I think about Trump getting back into office, I instantly think, well, China would want, they want to buy a ton of our beans and just stock up that way. If there is a trade war next year, that, you know, they have a little negotiating power because they don't need our commodities. Well, here's a sad fact. They are buying a lot of beans. It's just not from us right now. It's from Brazil. And they're also buying a whole lot of corn from Brazil the first 2 weeks in July here. So they are stocking up, but they are going to have to come buy our new crop. And I am surprised they haven't done more of that. Now, you look back this past week, you know, if unknown is China, it does seem like they did finally step in and start buying some new crop soybeans. And starting to see that here early this morning on this market. We're starting to come up. You know, I don't want to jinx it, but maybe we've made some lows and it's really early, but maybe they were even harvest lows. But if we're going to go higher in beans, I think we've got a weather premium built in this market. We're going to have to see demand really pick up.
We're talking with Dwayne Bussey from Bolt Marketing. Dwayne, how about over in that protein sector? It's kind of been I'll say mixed week in cattle. We do have a cattle on feed report after the close of trade on Friday. So I have to think there's going to be some squaring up of positions ahead of that. On the flip side, this hog market technically has found some support this week. So what's your overall thoughts of the protein sector?
Well, I really like the hog trade that it's finally found some support. Yeah. You know, there's not a lot of news when it comes to the lean hog market anymore. Front month August at 92 seems a little too high to me, but maybe the cash market's found a bottom. It always seems like the futures market moves before the cash does. So I think that's what's going on there. On the cattle front, early in the week, we had some steady cash, which I think everyone was fairly happy with. It's trending just a little bit lower to end the week, a dollar or two lower, and starting to see more supplies out there, but still very, very tight. It's hard for producers because it's hard to hedge on the live cattle side, even if I'm right, suggesting that maybe we've seen the peak for a while. It's hard to hedge because you're at such a discount to cash. But on the feeder side of things, you're right there with cash. So this week, we've really been pushing the cow-calf guys to start hedging new crop calves here that are coming off. And if you can stretch it out to next year, go ahead and do that too. These are great prices. I'm not saying I'm hugely bearish the feeder market, but I don't want to see it slip away like it feels like corn kind of did this year.
All right. Well, Dwayne, as we wrap up this segment, what do you want folks to really kind of take home? I know that a lot of tough conversations surrounding marketing and market prices right now. So, I mean, what do you want folks to just kind of really think about here as we go through the end of the month?
Well, sure. Let's just gear towards a producer that maybe is behind on marketing. I guess I'd say sit down with your spreadsheet and look at just trying to break even manufacturer profits this year. You know, forget about the $150, $200 profits per acre and just try to get by a little bit for a year or so, really kind of hone in. And if I'm wrong and you end up being sold out for $20 an acre profit and the market rallies, that's not a bad thing for your farm long term either. So let's just kind of get by this year.
Dwayne, if folks were to reach out to you, have a conversation there, Bolt Marketing, how can they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can call me directly here, 605-448-2365, or they can check us out online at boltmarketingllc.com.
Dwayne Bussey, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for being with us here on AOA today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And again, Dwayne Bussey there with Bolt Marketing. Find them at boltmarketingllc.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to switch over. We're going to talk about tips for managing cattle during the summer months. Madison Kuvarna with South Dakota State University Extension joins us next on AOA. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Joining us now, beef nutrition field specialist with South Dakota State University Extension, Madison Kuvarna. Madison, welcome back to the program. It's good to talk with you again. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I always like to come on and just to have a little conversation and provide some good information for our beef producers out there.
Yeah, well, there's a lot going on for cattle producers and beef producers that we should talk about here today. I want to start just with you being at SDSU, obviously the flooding that we saw here across parts of eastern South Dakota into northwest Iowa, southwest Minnesota, etc., such devastating impacts, I know, for folks far and wide, impacts on agriculture, etc. What were some of the flooding impacts on cattle? Was there some management changes maybe to deal with some of this flooding and some of just how wet things have been? I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. For a lot of producers that were impacted by that flooding, the biggest thing was it just continued to rain and rain and rain for that week, and it just seemed like it was never going to stop. And we handled it as best as we can, and major props to all those boots on the ground out there that were working to get cattle back home, clean up the yards, repair fences, all the things, and start to return to our new normal. A lot of fields and pastures out there still have some deep water out there that we're dealing with, and that'll probably stick around for a while longer before it can soak into the ground. Very grateful we've got the moisture, but I think someone can turn the faucet off for a few weeks and we'd be just fine. But I think the biggest concern for people moving forward is making sure that all those cattle made it back home. And if they're still out on pasture, that they still have adequate grass that they can get to without being kind of islanded or put on that little center where they're surrounded by water. That's kind of a big concern as we're moving forward.
Well, let's talk about summer, because obviously we're in the heart of summer now, and I know things across the northern tier have been a bit cooler and wetter, but things are looking to warm up here as we get into the middle and back half of July. So let's talk about some of those heat-related things, et cetera, but how about the nutrition of grass? Talk about that as we go through summer months for cattle that are out on pasture. What are some things we need to remember?
Absolutely. So moving forward, kind of coming off of the back of this really wet kind of month of June that we had, one of the things that I always like to mention when we experience some pretty wet weather is all of our stored feed, if we had any hay bales that were out, if they happened to be at a low spot, keeping an eye on those because they probably took on some water. And as we get into these warmer months, that we might see some mold issues start to grow in those bales. And when those wet bales start to heat up, that's when we can kind of encounter some big hay storage fires. So making sure we're double checking all of that storage area there to make sure nothing came out unexpected over there, just making sure we're keeping our eyes on it. But when we move to those cattle that are out on pasture, as we move into these warmer July and August months all across the U.S. and even more so in the Midwest, and we start to increase the temperatures here, we start to see a shift in our grass populations out in those big wide open spaces in those grazing pastures with our cool and our warm season grasses. Ideally, pastures are going to have kind of an even mix. That's not always the case, but you'll kind of notice that some of our grasses that are those cool season ones, such as Kentucky bluegrass, our smooth brome, any of the wheat grasses, needle grasses, things like that, those ones are really going to slow down in their growth curve as we move into this July and August time. Those grasses really, really don't like when it gets pretty warm. So they'll slow down, but that's where our warm season grasses, such as Big and Little Bluestem, our switchgrass, Indian grass, that type of stuff, that'll fill in that blank there. So that's why we're really looking to have both of those populations of grass represented. So it kind of makes sure those cows have the steady plane of nutrition moving forward. Those warm season grasses are really going to have some good nutritional value, both in energy as well as protein, when our cool season grasses are getting a little tuckered out with the heat coming. But what's really fortunate for us here in the Midwest, that we get that temperate fall where those temperatures start to cool down, those cool seasons will kick right back up. So having a good mix of those grasses really makes sure that those cows have some good access to nutrition all throughout this summer season.
What about in terms of taking care of our cattle, man-made shade, shelter belts, windbreaks, things like that, summer heat management, you know, like overnight temperature cool down, different feeding strategies, things like that? Like, what are some of those things we could do to help take care of our cattle when it's getting hot here during the summer?
So for, it's kind of, there's two different classes that we can look at when we start to look at some of those different things. Our cattle out on pasture, they pretty much get the sweet spot out there. They've got some space to get out in the wind in those hot days, or they potentially maybe have some tree belts to get into and get out of the direct sun. But when we really start to worry is those cattle that we may have on feed, or if they're in dry lots, that sun beating down on them on that dirt can get really, really warm for them, and especially for our black-hided cattle that are common all over the place. Those cattle really start to struggle when we move into these hotter months in those lots. So when we're looking at that, some producers have had luck with, if you're a big feeding operation, you buy cattle in, if you want to feed cattle over the summer, choosing those cattle that have the lighter hides, those Charolais crosses that maybe are a little more white and tan, or maybe some red Angus in there as well. They tend to be a little more heat tolerant than our black-hided cattle. So you can kind of use that to your advantage too when you're feeding calves throughout the summer months. But if that's not really an option, there are some management techniques that we can do for our cattle that are in a dry lot. One of those that's come popular over the last couple of years, a lot of people are more buying into this now, is having shade structures within those dry lot pens. Ideally, we want to have 20 to 30 feet, square feet per head in those pens. That gives cattle enough room to get under there, have some space between them and their friends, really allow them to dissipate that heat, get out of the sun. So that's fantastic if we can do that. And we also want those shade structures to be a minimum of 7 feet off the ground, so that if there is any wind, we can use that to our advantage, have it kind of blowing underneath that roof to help those cattle cool down. And within South Dakota, I know we all love our tree belts and our shelter belts when it comes to winter time to protect those cattle from those bitter winter winds. But in the summertime, they can actually kind of come out and harm us a little bit on the warmer end, because they block that wind that helps our cattle cool down and dissipate that heat off of them. So the cattle that maybe are in a more protected space on your operation, or maybe your confinement barns, looking at your ventilation overall, and if you know you've got a pen that will be pretty protected from wind, implementing those shades or potentially putting a sprinkler out there to let those cattle cool down. The biggest thing with sprinklers is that we want those droplets that come out of that sprinkler to be pretty large. The hide really only cools down when it gets thoroughly saturated. And when we add mist to the air, or a really fine sprinkler, it actually just makes things a lot more humid and muggy down there and does the exact opposite of what we're wanting. And with those sprinklers, we want to run them in the morning or into the evening. That works out fantastic. Gives those cattle a chance to cool off right away in the morning and dissipate that more, that whole day of heat there, if we do it in the afternoon, and kind of prevents that humidity issue in the middle of the day. We are trending just kind of on a big scale of having warmer overnights, and that's when cattle dissipate the most of their heat. And that's one of the things that we can use to our advantage too with feeding. We can feed about 70% of their diet after the peak afternoon heat there. That'll give them some time to dissipate that natural heat they make when they're using that fantastic rumen to digest all the feed that we're feeding them, to grow nice and big for us, so we can have a big paycheck when they go to the plant.
All right. Well, Madison, as we wrap things up, any other final tips you would want to share with beef producers here today?
I've always got a few fun tips up my sleeve with SDSU Extension. We've got a variety of resources on our website that you can utilize to kind of catch up on some common management strategies, or just maybe you want to try something new. There's plenty of things there. The South Dakota Mesonet system, they've got a website as well that has a livestock heat stress tool on it, that if you are curious what's going to be happening weather-wise, and if you're going to have to prepare those cattle for a warm event, you can use that to kind of forecast what you're going to be doing for your management. But as we move into summer, this is where my little soapbox of water quality comes into play too. especially with all the flooding that happened, that can really impact our overall water quality that we've got. Those floodwaters may have introduced some unwanted guests in our water supply, like bacteria and other viruses and things. So making sure we're staying on top of our water tests, making sure the water is of high quality. Our cattle are really going to start upping their water intake in these next few weeks as our temperature increases, and some of our animals can easily be drinking 2 gallons per 100 pounds of their body weight when it starts to get really warm. So making sure that water is of good quality and we can provide it fast enough, I think, is a really important thing to remember as we move forward here into these warmer weeks.
All right. Well, we're up against the clock. Madison Cavarna with South Dakota State University Extension. Thanks for joining us today. Coming up next, we'll talk drones with Arthur Erickson from Helio on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across Western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for Western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, August milk down 24 to 1993, September down 21 to 2057, October down 20 to 2072, November milk down 20 at 2016. Live cattle markets were higher in the nearby months, even though there's the cattle on feed report that was coming out at the close of the day. But most contracts traded mildly higher in the nearbys, recovering some of their lost positions from Thursday. Feeder cattle, meanwhile, were mostly lower, even though demand for feeder cattle remained strong. The trade doing a lot of positioning ahead of the cattle on feed report. Hog markets were higher as the market continued to see a better demand on the pork side, along with strength in some of the pork cutout values. August live cattle up 85 cents to 183.10. August feeder cattle down 62 cents to 255.60. August hogs up 20 cents to 91.57. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets were relatively flat on the day. Really not a lot of news to move the market one way or the other. And cooler weather looks to persist. Now, soybeans, meanwhile, they were mostly lower on the day, even though there were some export sales. But weather looks to continue to support crop development. Wheat markets mostly higher due to continued concerns over the European and Black Sea region wheat crops. New crop corn down a quarter to 404 and three quarters. New crop beans down 7.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Better known tractors in the world than Coyote. Ones with bigger names, longer histories, more popular hats, cute toy lines. But there's not a single tractor ever been built that's better equipped to do the dirty work. So we'll just focus on what really matters. Coyote, we dig dirt.
Dig some dirt with a Coyote tractor, now available at Anabu Silo, Highway 25, Durand.
keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Right now on AOA, we want to turn our attention to talking about drones, and more specifically, what a Chinese-made DJI drone ban could mean for U.S. agriculture, and why Chinese-made drones in general pose a security risk to U.S. farms and ranches. Recently, the House of Representatives voting yes on a bill to ban Chinese-made DJI drones here in the U.S., and move that on to the Senate. So we're going to talk about this in the broader scope of things. Joining us now on the program, we've had him on before, welcoming him back to the show. He's the CEO of Helio, a U.S. drone manufacturer. Arthur Erickson is with us. And Arthur, thanks for joining us. I got to start and ask real quick. I know that you were one of many affected by Hurricane Beryl in South Texas in the Houston area. So how are you? How are things? Are you starting to kind of recover a little bit from that hurricane moving through?
Yeah. Morning, Jesse. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, we're fine. So basically 2.4 million Houstonians lost power as of early Monday morning around 3 or 4 a.m. And as of today, I think 2.3 million have power back. So we're almost completely back online. I got to thank CenterPoint Energy, even though they're getting a lot of hate down here. They got my house's power back on in 3.5 days. Our office power came back in 5 days. It could have been worse, so I can't complain too much.
Okay, well, good to hear that things are somewhat getting back to normal down there, as we saw that hurricane move through the earliest Cat 5 on record that moved through the Atlantic and the Caribbean, and then was re-strengthened to a hurricane when it moved into South Texas. So good to hear things are well there. All right, let's talk drones. And first, as I kind of set up there a little bit, we have some legislation working through Congress to ban Chinese-made DJI drones. Talk about that a little bit for us. And of course, you know, it seems like a no-brainer to me with all the talk of cybersecurity and national security and things like that surrounding China. But obviously, there's some security risk here with some of these Chinese-made drones. Is that correct?
Yeah. And just as an aside, I mean, just today we had this big Microsoft outage. And, yeah, you know, hack or not, I don't believe they're saying it was a hack, but still, it just shows how important cybersecurity is, right? All the airlines got grounded today just because of, like, one little widget in Microsoft going down. So cybersecurity is very important. I'll give a little bit of historical context for the DJI ban that's through the House and now in the Senate. But basically, back in 2017, so already about 7 years ago, the Department of Homeland Security put out a memo stating that they had strong reason to believe that DJI drones were sending critical information back to the Chinese government that could be used to undermine U.S. national security in various ways. And they also actually made an argument back then, too, that DJI was dangerous for using monopolistic practices and undermining the U.S. drone market by, you know, price dumping and things of that nature. So they sent that memo out. They also said, hey, the federal government in the U.S. should not use any of these Chinese-made drones anymore for these security reasons. So then you start to see in the National Defense Authorization Act of 2019 that the Chinese-made drones were, in fact, banned for purchase and use by the U.S. government. Now, fast forward to 2024, where we are today, that ban and those concerns have grown even further. And so there are calls from a lot of people to ban Chinese drone use outright. So not just in the private sector, not just in the public sector, but also the private sector here in the States. And that's what this ban effectively would do. So it was proposed by Elise Stefanik, a representative out of New York. It passed through the House in the Senate now. And what it will do is basically make DJI, the largest drone manufacturer in the world, Chinese-based company, into a covered entity as defined by the government, which means that they would not be allowed to have FCC authorization to operate on the frequencies and communication channels in our country. So all the drones would basically become paperweights because they need those communications to function, obviously. So it would be a virtual ban, and we're going to have to see where it ends up, but that's where we currently are.
Well, I think about this, you know, what was it, some 10, 15 years ago, we were hearing these stories about Chinese nationals you know, whether they're stealing, you know, trait secrets from plot facilities and warehouses and things like that here in the U.S., you know, trying to take, you know, corn kernels back to China or whatever, you know, all these different, you know, wild stories. Well, think about, you know, okay, that was 10, 15 years ago. Well, how much has technology evolved to where, to your point, using a drone can accomplish the same thing to get critical data on how we grow our food in this country. Things like that is kind of, that stands out to me, Arthur, is one of the biggest security risks and one of the biggest changes we've seen just with technology evolving here in the last decade.
Yeah, I completely agree. I'm not a insider, you know, with the federal government here. So I'm not privy. No normal citizen is privy to what's actually happening behind the scenes, what DJI or other companies may or may not be taking from us. But just from a logical standpoint, if you think about the immense amount of data that they're gathering, it's almost inevitable that that could be used to hurt our country, right? I think you would be a little naive to assume that a country like China, which is in economic competition with us and perhaps even more serious competition in the future, it'd be foolish to think that they wouldn't try to use every advantage that they have, right? And that's not even just, you know, the Chinese government, but pretty much any government today would utilize data like that to get an edge economically, geopolitically. So I think that's something we have to be really careful about.
Well, and thinking about this too, we're talking with Arthur Erickson, CEO of Helio, a U.S. drone manufacturer. If we saw this effective ban go on these Chinese drones, obviously then too, that's going to be beneficial for U.S. drone manufacturers such as yourself. And, you know, nothing wrong with bringing some of this technology and having it manufactured right here at home in the U.S. But obviously, I think moving forward, it not only opens up that opportunity, but also just it allows us to continue to evolve our drone programs, keep all of this data here in the U.S. as we continue to utilize more drones on our farm and ranch operations. Because, Arthur, I mean, we could talk about that a little bit. The uptick here in recent years and the ability and the use of drones for, you know, targeted spraying activities, things like that. I mean, there's so many opportunities in front of us in agriculture, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a tech optimist. I wouldn't do what I do if I wasn't one. So even though there's a lot of talk about how automation, killing jobs, you know, displacing humans in general, I don't view it that way. I think that there's a lot of jobs in agriculture that people just don't want to do. They've never wanted to do them. They don't want to do them now. There is a severe labor shortage on farms across America. So we're creating technology that's just going to make farming more successful and frankly, just more satisfying and enjoyable for everybody involved. So, I mean, people don't want to be out like, bent over spraying with a backpack full of chemicals, right, for 12 hours a day. That's just not a fun thing to do. But these robots have no problem doing it, obviously. So that's what we're trying to build, and we're seeing a lot of adoption increase. Basically, I mean, in the Corn Belt in the Midwest, that's a huge market for our company and other similar companies right now. But we're starting to see basically just everybody across the country start to adopt these technologies, and it's trending in the right direction, that's for sure.
Well, and I know last time we had you on the show, talk about this and give folks listening a little refresher, because I know that you mentioned the FAA exemptions needed for drones when we were talking about the Chinese potential ban here on Chinese-made drones. But I know Helio, you guys were granted the first ever FAA exemption for 55-plus pound drone swarms on farms. Can you give our listeners a little refresher on that for here today?
Yeah, so that went through in late February of this year, and as you pointed out, it was the first permission given to any company in the U.S. for swarming drones over 55 pounds in this context for agricultural applications. So it was precedent-setting, it was groundbreaking in that sense. And since then, and we talked about this last time, I believe, but the intention was they give it to Helio first, but it is meant to be citable and precedent-setting, like I just mentioned. So other companies can start to use it. So now, as of July, there are several other companies that have been able to use that permission that we got to also deploy Swarm. So it's not just Helio anymore that's allowed to do it. It's everybody else who's gone through the approval process and basically referenced that and just said, hey, we're doing the same thing with similar technology, so we can do it as well. And so that's great. It's great movement for the industry. The FAA did really good work just recognizing that the technology has reached this level to where it could be safely deployed like this. And I think it's just signals good things to come in terms of positive regulation to really allow this technology to be fully utilized.
Definitely, definitely. Well, we appreciate you joining us today, giving us some updates on the potential ban to Chinese-made drones and also a little bit more about some of this work in general that is going on with Helio. Folks want to learn more about Helio and some of the drone capabilities you guys have and much more. What's the easiest way to find you guys online, Arthur?
You can go to helio.com. So to be clear here, it's HYLIO.com. Even though it sounds like HELIO, it's HYLIO.com. So that's where you can find us and learn a lot about the industry or our drones in general.
HYLIO.com. Learn more about Helio. Right. And with that, we've been talking with Helio CEO Arthur Erickson. Arthur, thanks for being with us in AOA today. We'll look forward to having you back on in the future.
Thank you, Jesse. Have a good one.
Again, Arthur Erickson joining us there with Helio. A very interesting thing to watch, too, with that potential ban on Chinese-made DJI drones recently, that legislation moving through the House of Representatives, and it is now with the Senate. And I think it comes back to that broader conversation about food is national security and everything kind of roped in with that. All right, coming up next here, we're not done. We will take a look at Ag News headlines. We'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
Drowning in IRS debt? If you can't afford to pay your IRS debt due to economic hardship, you can now be free of IRS collection efforts by taking advantage of a special IRS tax hardship program. This program allows Americans who owe the IRS to resolve their delinquent tax debt once and for all. In some cases, maybe even reducing what you owe significantly. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Simply dial 800-785-9545. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back or have years of unfiled tax returns, help is standing by. Just call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-785-9545 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-785-9545 to see if you qualify. That's 800-785-9545.
Some people just know the best rate for you is a rate based on you with Allstate. And look at you, hands perfectly placed on the wheel. Not like the driver to the right of you who's really going after that drum solo. Save with DriveWise and the Allstate app and only pay a rate based on you.
Not available in every state, subject to terms and conditions. Rating factors and savings vary, and in some states, your rate could increase with high-risk driving. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Timmy, everybody. Great job. Next up for our fifth grade class recital, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high-stress performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through December 28th, Castrol Edge and Edge High Mileage Motor Oil are on rollback at Walmart.
Claim based on sequence dyne test under high-low conditions versus APISP test limits.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, we're talking with Emily Peterson, a regional sales manager for animal nutrition with CHS. She will discuss livestock industry trends. Emily, what are the current consumer protein trends in the meat industry?
There was a big beef tracker survey done back in 2023. And as a beef producer, it was exciting to see, you know, consumer preference is trending really high at 70%. Uniquely enough, chicken was at 83%, pork at 46%, fish and seafood at 41%, and meat alternatives at 25%.
Alternative meats have been a hot topic in the protein industry over the last few years. What is the current consumer perception of alternative meats, and how is that influencing purchasing behaviors?
So looking at some of the information from a consumer beef tracker done by the Beef Checkoff, consumer preference for meat alternatives was actually only around 5% as their top protein of choice, which leads me to kind of believe that our animal proteins are performing strong in terms of consumer preference. You know, everyone loves the great taste that beef, chicken, and pork all provide.
Focusing on beef protein specifically, what are future consumption projections of consumers?
So looking at beef specifically, a majority of consumers are looking at kind of keeping their consumption the same going into this year and looking at the tail end of 2023. Some of the other impacts driving consumer purchasing outside of price is looking for healthier options, which is kind of one thing I'm really passionate about. You know, beef and all of our animal proteins are great sources of high protein. It's healthy protein.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Welcome back to AOA as we take a look at news headlines here today. While sustainable aviation fuel and clean fuel production tax credits have the potential to benefit farmers while lowering carbon emissions, however, the shortcomings in the provisions could put the benefits out of reach for many U.S. farmers. Four groups, including the American Farm Bureau, American Soybean Association, National Corn Growers Association, and National Farmers Union, sent a letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen and Office of Management and Budget Director Shalonda Young, urging them to ensure the Clean Fuel Production Credit 45Z works for U.S. farmers. Now, the letter says, quote, without clear domestic feedstock requirements in the tax credit, the benefits of this policy are at risk being diverted from American farmers. There is no current requirement that feedstocks be grown domestically, which means foreign feedstock producers can take advantage of the credit, end quote. The groups also say this goes against the broader goal of supporting U.S. agriculture and rural communities. Well, Clean Fuels Alliance America delivered a formal notice of intent to sue the Environmental Protection Agency for its failure to issue timely 2026 renewable fuel standard RVOs. By statute, EPA is required to finalize volumes 14 months before the start of a compliance year. Now, for 2026, that deadline would come at the end of October 2024. On June 28th, the White House Office of Management and Budget released the Spring 2024 Unified Agenda of Regulatory and Deregulatory Actions. The agenda set a timeline for EPA to propose the 2026 RFS volumes by March of 2025 and then finalize the rule by December 2025. Clean Fuel says, quote, EPA's failure to timely issue the 2026 RFS volumes compounds another issue. EPA set the volumes for 2023 through 2025 too low, end quote. Now, Kurt Kovarik of Clean Fuels added, quote, stakeholder organizations have asked the EPA to ensure it met the deadline for the 2026 rule and get it back on track, end quote. Well, the nation's largest ethanol producer and one of the largest ammonia fertilizer companies are developing a pilot project to reduce the carbon intensity of ethanol and corn production using low-carbon ammonia as a fertilizer. According to the article from DTN environmental editor and frequent AOA contributor Todd Neely, Poet LLC and CF Industries have announced a collaboration that will involve low-carbon ammonia field applications starting possibly this fall, according to a news release. The conventional production process of ammonia is emissions-intensive, which increases corn ethanol's carbon footprint. And the company said, quote, as a result, ammonia production is a significant contributor to the life cycle carbon intensity of corn production and thus ethanol production. Producing ethanol with corn grown using low carbon ammonia can reduce the carbon intensity of ethanol up to 10%, end quote. Now, the companies are targeting the fall of 2024 for the first applications of low-carbon ammonia with subsequent applications in spring of 2025, with the first crop to be harvested in the fall of 2025. The company said they intend to jointly develop a low-carbon fertilizer supply chain to track, validate, and certify carbon intensity reduction originating from low-carbon ammonia. The so-called green ammonia is produced by CF Industries at a plant in Donaldsonville, Louisiana. Now, the lower carbon ethanol is expected to be produced at Poet's ethanol plants in the following places: Bingham Lake, Minnesota, Emmitsburg, Iowa, Fairmont, Nebraska, and North Manchester, Indiana. The company said farmers should reach out to their local Poet grain merchandisers for more information. And again, you can read more on that story from DTN's Todd Neely online at dtnpf.com. Well, the news from the USDA's World Ag Outlook Board this past week was further proof that farmers need more help to keep up with rising input costs for staple crops like corn.
For the new crop year, we reduced our season average farm price forecast by 10 cents per bushel down to $4.30 per bushel, and that would be down 35 cents year over year.
Outlook Board Chair Mark Jekinowski says despite a slightly smaller production forecast, corn stocks will grow to over 2 billion bushels.
And that would be up 220 million bushels from last year.
Putting downward pressure on corn prices, now expected to fall this season by some 7.5%. Soybeans will also see a slight stocks increase of 270 million bushels, or 1% over last year. But Jekinowski says stiff global competition will weigh heavily on soybean prices.
We reduced our season average price forecast for the new crop by 10 cents, currently forecast at $11.10 per bushel, down $1.40 year over year.
That's an 11% decline. Now, the House GOP farm bill would raise reference prices by 10 to 15%, but Senate ag members have yet to agree on a bill, though Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow of Michigan has proposed a 5% hike for most covered crops, with 10 to 15% for some. And finally, here today on AOA, farmers in Russia's breadbasket are battling temperatures over 120 degrees and trying to save a wheat crop hit hard by a heat wave, frosts, and even floods. Rostov, one of Russia's key wheat-growing regions, accounted for 11% of the country's total grain harvest last year, and ag ministry officials are monitoring it to make more adjustments to an already soft 2024 wheat forecast. The ministry's most recent estimate says the Russian grain harvest will hit 132 million tons, 9% below the 145 million in 2023, and 16% from a record 158 million in 2022. After a serious heat wave followed frost in the spring, Rostov expects its grain harvest to drop approximately 38% this year to 10 million tons. An agronomist says the wheat initially came out of winter in good condition and the harvest prospects were excellent. Well, now they're only harvesting what's left after a rough season. So again, sounds like that Russian wheat harvest could see a pretty sizable drop here and come in around 132 million tons. That's the most recent estimate. We'll see if that comes to fruition and if it impacts wheat prices at all globally, as Russia has been dumping a lot of cheap wheat onto the world market here over the last year. All right. Well, with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here on AOA today. Coming up on our next program, we'll talk markets with Dara Newsom from Bar Chart. DTN meteorologist John Baranek is going to be back with us to take a look at the weather here in the back half of July, maybe even look into some of that early August forecast as well. And we'll talk rural road safety, a new study out from Nationwide. Laramie Sanquist with Nationwide is going to join us for that conversation coming up on the next AOA. Thanks as always for joining us. Have a good one. I'm Jesse Allen. You've been listening to AOA. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Over the years, you've brought them into your home. You were prescribed opioids after the C-section. When Dad injured his back. When your basketball star tore his ACL. Opioids help.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming,